Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 34 of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. We are your hosts,
Tony,
and I am Lou. Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for listening, as always. Don't forget, you can visit us on Facebook, on our Facebook page, become a fan, and then, as always, please visit us on iTunes, where you can subscribe, leave us a rating, and give us a little review. That's three little bits of homework that you have to do if you haven't done that already. This is going to be an interesting show today.
It's completely off the cuff.
We have no outline. We have no notes. Basically, we got nothing. That's because I just have had no time. I've been working a lot, and then I had some oral surgery the other day.
Ooh, what's wrong with Lou?
Yeah, exactly.
To bring him
it's
back,
a new.
Wrong with Lou.
I've been wanting to kind of bring it back for a while, and so now I have that. So I had to work from home yesterday, and I was doing a lot of, you know, like real work stuff, and didn't have a chance really to put together an outline, which I usually do before we do this, but that's fine. We can wing it. We can make it work.
Yes.
You know what I was thinking we should talk about in video games? I think we should talk about like some of our first video game experiences and memories and games that we played when we were younger that really got us into video games as a sort of lifelong, you know, hobby and interest and that sort of thing. Okay. Like, do you even remember what the first game was that you ever played, the first video game?
Like, in an arcade?
Any. Like, was the first game you played in an arcade, or was it, like, on the Atari?
Probably the Atari.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because mine were definitely arcade games.
I don't really remember. I had an Atari. I think we were one of the first to have an Atari.
Oh, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Not when you look back at it now.
Well, it was back then. I mean, that was like the biggest thing forever, you know.
And some of my favorite games, first games on the Atari, if I can think back that far. Remember when Pac-Man came out on the Atari?
It was horrible.
It was terrible, but like you had to have it.
Right, you had to have it.
What wasn't bad though was Defender.
Really? That was good?
Yeah.
Wow, that's weird that would have been good.
Right.
Well, I mean, so the first games on the Atari were things like, what's so funny is there are things like what we included with the Wii Sports. It was things like tennis, right. You know, because it was basically a variation
soccer,
of Pong.
I want to say.
Oh, I forgot about that soccer game.
Where everyone moved as a block.
That soccer game was huge.
Yeah.
But the first games that I remember, what was the one that was it just called Tank? Where you had the little tanks and you drove around trying to shoot each other?
Battlezone?
No. It was like it was just like a top down, and you had, you know.
Oh,
little,
yeah.
Remember what I'm talking about?
Vaguely.
I don't remember what that was called, but that was pretty cool. Of course, the what?
Well, I don't know about cool.
I mean, at the time, at the time, it was pretty cool. But I think for me, the biggest game on the Atari, anyway, that was like, oh my gosh, this is incredible, was Adventure. When that game first came out, that was amazing.
Yeah.
And it was so pathetic. I mean, it was supposed to be basically like a little mini RPG for the Atari 2600. But what was so pathetic about it, your character was a square.
Right.
Like basically a pixel.
Right.
Not a pixel, but it was like a pixel in Atari pixels.
Right.
You know, not TV pixels. And you moved around these rooms that basically looked like the rooms in Berserk or something. They were just line drawings. And you would find, quote unquote, dragons that actually looked like ducks.
Right.
And then, of course, there was the whole secret room, which I think was the first time I ever heard of an Easter egg, where you could go in and find the guy who did the programming.
That reminds me, there was another game along those lines. It was the Indiana Jones game. I don't remember if it was Raiders of the Lost Ark or the Indiana Jones game, but it was where you had to find the Lost Ark of the Covenant.
Okay.
Just so bad.
Was it terrible?
Yeah.
Yeah. My first experience with video games was because, you know, I played hockey and then I ice skated for years. And at the ice arena where we used to, you know, go to skate, they had a little game room there. And at first they only had pinball machines there, but then they had a Space Invaders, and then later they had an Asteroids, and then later they had a Pac-Man game when Pac-Man came out. And I mean, I just wanted to go just to play video games. I didn't even want to go out on the ice.
Right.
I mean, it was, you know, seeing Space Invaders and Asteroids for the first time, my mind was like completely blown.
Right.
It was insane. And especially Asteroids, because, you know, it was vector graphics and it, you know, you had never really seen anything that looked like that. And even though it was black and white and super cheesy, it was just still the coolest thing.
Right. Well, now they're making a big time movie on it. So
I know
you can relive that magic.
I still can't believe that. And then, you know, and it's funny that you bring that up because I read something maybe a week ago about how the guy who's writing the script for it says he already has the, you know, the basic script worked out and or the basic story elements worked out. And it's about these like two brothers and their relationship. And it's like, oh, that sounds terrible.
Yeah. Well, you didn't get that from the game.
That's awesome. And so then I think, you know, and then once, you know, because Pac-Man is what really made video games take off.
Right.
That was the game that really just made that industry so big. And I remember it got to the point where I was playing games so much that I was like stealing quarters out of the change jar at my parents' house. You know what I mean? I mean, I say my parents' house, but I was like 10. So it was my house too. And I was playing games so much that after a while they're just like, all right, no more video games for you. Because we didn't have an Atari. We didn't even have a, you know, video recorder, VCR or anything. So there was a period, and it seemed like an eternity. It was probably like a month or 2 months or 3 months maybe where I didn't play any video games. I didn't go to any arcades or anything.
And then you were jonesing.
I was totally jonesing. And then we went to, I wonder what mall was it? I want to say it was Spring Hill, which is a mall kind of out west of here. And they had an Aladdin's Castle there, which was an arcade chain that was owned by Bally's. And we went in there, and they had all these games that I had never seen before. I mean, like, there was Tempest, which was the first time I had seen a color vector game. Totally amazed by that. Right. Mousetrap, which was like a Pac-Man variant, but kind of added a lot more stuff to it.
Tempest was always the game to me that I thought was so cool and so fun, but, like, I never got good at it.
Yeah. It was really hard.
Really hard.
That was a great game. Yeah. I mean, so that was the thing about arcade games that was so cool was most of the concepts were just so simple and so addictive. Like, you know, the whole thing of easy to get into, you know, easy to learn, difficult to master. Right. Most arcade games that, you know, were pretty good games fell into that category. And Tempest was really, really hard. And, you know, you could do those warps. You know what I mean? You could, like, do a warp so that you could go to a higher level if you did something else. And then a lot of games started putting that in. Remember Crystal Castles?
Right.
That game, even from the first level, you could go around to the back of the first level, and if you hit the button at the back, you would all of a sudden warp up like five levels, and then you could, if you knew where all those secret things were, you could do it. And I always wondered how people found those, like if it was on accident or if they were leaked by the companies that made the games. What were arcade games? What were your first ones that you were really into?
I really liked Tron.
Yeah.
I remember I was a big fan of that. Moon Patrol was another one of my
favorites.
Moon
Patrol was awesome.
Those are the only two that really stick in my mind that I spent a lot of time and quarters on.
You know, and being growing up in the Chicago area, we were kind of lucky because a lot of the big game companies were based out of Chicago. And so a lot of the arcades around here did tests of games before they were released nationally.
Right.
And so we got to play a lot of stuff that probably never even got made. There's this one game that I still to this day cannot remember what it was. I don't know if you remember this. It was at the Just for Fun at Town and Country Mall. And there was, I say that because the sign, the mall name of the mall was like in tiny letters, and the word mall was huge, I guess because people were really into malls at that time. So that was a big selling point, that it was a mall. But so it was this game where it was like a three-quarter overview, kind of a fake 3D thing, and you had to, it was like you were on the moon, and it was made up of little blocks, and you would shoot enemies that, you remember that? It was kind of a Zaxxon
vaguely,
view,
yeah.
But then you would shoot enemies, and then some of the blocks would crumble and fall away. I don't think it ever got mass produced, but they had it there as a test.
Yeah.
That was a really cool game.
I do remember that.
And then there was another, because, you know, remember they did like a million Pac-Man variations?
Right.
There was another Pac-Man game where it was like 3D, and so the ghosts were like 3D, and they were kind of translucent. Do you remember that
Vaguely.
One? It was like in a 3D, again, a three-quarter overview kind of maze.
Right.
There's some cool stuff there. And there were a lot of games that they had at, what was the one right over here?
Galaxy.
Pin Pan Alley, the one that was right down the street over here. And there were a lot of games that they had there that I really ended up liking, like Mappy. I think that was the first place we played Mappy.
Right.
And Flicky.
Right.
That was another great game. But I don't think either of those ever like caught on big time. I think Mappy did somewhat. But
Memories.
Exactly.
So are you not playing anything right now? What about World of Warcraft?
No, I'm still playing World of Warcraft. In fact, my main guy, my hunter, I think is going to hit level 40, which is like, you know, a big deal because there's a lot of stuff that
is
happens.
Is there like a party?
40. there's going to be a party in my head. I don't know if there's going to be an actual party.
I'm so glad you chose head and not pants.
I wasn't going to go there.
That's where I thought you were going.
No, I wasn't going to do
that. Shows
where
our minds are.
Shows where your mind is.
Right, individually. Yeah.
No, you get a, because you can have mounts, you know, so that you can, like animals that you can ride around. Uh-huh. And so you, at level 40, you get
See,
a faster.
See, I didn't even snicker at that.
At level 40, you get a faster one, which is cool because... Because there, you know, there are a lot of places that you can't do any kind of fast travel to. You can't, like, you know, in some games you can just go on the map and fast travel to any location on the map. You can't do that. Mm-hmm. There are things like you can fly different creatures from one city to another if that city has one. But there are a lot of places that you can't get to other than by walking there or riding your mount there. So it's a good thing to have a faster mount. And then, you know, there are a bunch of skills at level 40 that you get that, you know, are kind of a big deal.
Right.
And plus it's halfway to 80, which is the level cap, so... So that's kind of cool. I don't think I do have a new game that I can't talk about yet that I got from a company that I can't mention yet, but
really?
I have not had a chance to play it, so I can't really discuss that.
That's cool.
And I still haven't gotten into, to Mothership Zeta yet. I was going to play it yesterday. You know, I was having some issues with the loader for that. I don't know why, but. I don't know, you know, don't you ever get frustrated with, well, see, you don't play a lot of games on the computer. I get frustrated with the games that, like, there's some games you play that just, like, you start to play it and the game just, like, starts right away. And you just get right into it and it just goes.
Right.
And then other games that it seems like it takes forever for them to load and there's all these shenanigans going on. It's like, why can't you just make the game start?
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't need all this other stuff going on. But the only thing I've been playing is World of Warcraft.
Right.
And I haven't even gotten to play that much.
I played some more Batman, and I'm growing to love it even more.
Really?
Yeah. What's really great about it...
The honeymoon is not over.
It is not over.
Well,
it's getting more exciting. You get to parts where, you know, when you're in detective mode, you can see where the enemies are. And a lot of times you have to take care of them with no one else seeing you. So you have to be really stealthy about it. And it's almost becomes like a puzzle game because, you know, you have different, like, gadgets at your disposal.
Right.
Whether it be, like, blowing up a wall. I mean, there's one part that I didn't really know how to get them. They were behind this wall. And then I realized, oh, blow up the wall. And then the wall blows up and it takes care of them.
That's so cool.
Yeah. It's
that's
so
really
cool. So it almost becomes more of a puzzle game, which, you know, are one of my favorite types
of
games.
Yeah, that's fun.
You know, wrapped in this whole...
Action adventure. Yeah, that's really neat. Plus, it's always cool when you can do some kind of modification to the environment.
Right.
You know, that's one of my favorite. It's not like I look forward to blowing up buildings and stuff, but it's really cool when you can use it to some kind of tactical advantage.
Right.
And I won't even talk about Half-Life 2 and how it was cool in that.
Right.
So there. That's it? That's all you've been playing? You
playing
more Shadow Complex?
I have not played. No, Batman's kind of taken my attention, but I will get back into it. Because that's more, you know, you can just sit and it's a little more mind... I don't want to say mindless because it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, it doesn't take as much figuring out.
Yeah.
Though it still has somewhat of a puzzle element to it.
Right.
So.
That's cool.
Actually, we had gotten a letter from Stritch and he had asked about... Well, first of all, he had pointed out that the DJ Atomica character that's in Burnout Paradise has also been in the SSX games, which I have to say, SSX 3 is one of my favorite games of all time. That's a snowboarding game.
Okay.
And I spent so much time on that on the original Xbox.
Really?
That I hadn't thought about that in a long, long time. So I appreciate him, you know, sending us a little note.
We're having a garage sale, not this coming weekend, but next weekend. And I'm getting rid of all my old video games. Like my Xbox, my...
Now, don't you think you would have gotten more money for it if you'd put it like on eBay rather than...
I wouldn't think so. I would think there would be a million of them.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, and sometimes eBay... I kind of go back and forth with eBay because, you know, I've sold a lot of stuff on there.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes I just, like right now, I don't have the time to deal with it.
Right.
Because you know, all the packing and shipping, it really takes a lot of time.
Right.
You know, unless you have some kind of minions doing that kind of work for you, which I don't.
You need to get yourself some minions.
What I really need is minions.
Right.
There's a t-shirt that says that. We gave that to my nephew.
Really?
Yeah. What I really need is minions. I think that's kind of funny. But No, I just, you know, so it's just like, I'm gonna try to sell stuff there. And then anything that doesn't sell, I'm probably going to advertise on Craigslist actually more than, because I don't want to deal with the shipping.
Right.
I'd rather have people just come pick the stuff up.
Right.
So there's going to be an Xbox. There's going to be a GameCube. There's going to be, I think I still have my N64 somewhere. And like all the games that I have for them, I'm just going to sell it all together.
Wow.
Got over 100 DVDs and Blu-rays that I'm going to sell. An entire stereo system, AV receiver, mini disc player, DVD players, CD players.
Is this an ad for your garage sale?
No, that's ridiculous. That's just the dumbest. Why? Who would do that?
Everything must go, go, go.
So, yeah, so I'm getting rid of. Did you ever see when I had all those old consoles?
I've seen those consoles. You mean like you had them all?
No, not the ones I was just talking about. All the like really old ones.
I know what? You were collecting them for a while.
You never saw any of them though?
No,
some of
the
stuff was really cool.
Yeah. Are you getting rid of all that?
No, that stuff I already sold.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't
you probably got good money for that, didn't you? No.
It was, no, you know, it was okay. It was more than what I paid for everything, so that's good. But I had, yeah, one time I had like probably 200 different game systems.
Wow.
Yeah. And they were just like,
what were your plans for them?
I don't know. Then maybe I'd have like a little video game museum or something. I don't know what I was going to do with them. It was just like a weird obsession for a while.
Right.
But I mean, like all these, you know, really a lot of stuff that you would have seen, like, you know, a lot of the dedicated Atari consoles. Like, remember, there was one that just did tennis, and then there's another one that just did this game, and another one that just did this. So I had a lot of that stuff. And then I had a lot of stuff from England and Europe that, you know, was never really for sale here. Like, I had this one console that was basically like a Pong variant. You know, it played six different games or whatever. A lot of these things were so similar. And then, it was made out of wood. And all of the and all of the controls were like cast aluminum and stuff. It was so cool. It was really fancy. And it was probably very expensive when it came out, too.
Right.
And then I had, like, a lot of game systems that a lot of people probably never saw, like the Fairchild Channel F. Do you remember those?
Not at all.
That was the one, I bet you saw it. It was the one that had a control that was like a stick, and it had a triangular joystick on the top of it that you could move around like that and then also turn like a paddle control.
Uh-huh.
And then what were the other ones? There was an RCA system that, now I'm forgetting what some of them were. There was another one that had these like trigger controllers that then had another knob thing on top that also could act as a joystick.
Right.
Crazy, crazy like controller setups.
Yeah, I'm looking at some pictures of the Fairchild Channel F now.
Yeah. Is that the
in
right one?
In 1976, it sold for $170.
You believe that? That's a ton of money back then. Well, the Atari wasn't cheap.
No.
Even back then, it was, you know, probably around that. Maybe even more. The Bally Astrocade, that's what it was the one that had the funky trigger controllers. Look that one up.
Actually, the Atari 2600 came out in 77, so that other one was even before it.
Yeah, and the Odyssey 2 was also before it.
I'm trying to see if it
I think
how much the 20
or no, the Odyssey was before it. Magnavox really had the first home system with cartridges, although I don't think that they were really cartridges. I mean, they were cartridges, but I don't think they actually had games in them. I think basically the console could do certain things, and the cartridges turned on and off features of the console rather than actually having programming in them. I think maybe the Fairchild one was the first one that actually had cartridges. Look up the Bally Astrocade.
Okay, let me just say, though, the 2600, when it came out in 77, was $199, and that game you were thinking of was called Combat.
Combat, right.
That's what it shipped with.
And that was a cool game. I mean, you know, again, for the time. Oh, that was the in-pack? Or the pack-in, I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the other one you...
Bally Astrocade.
Okay.
Because that was pretty cool. There was a lot of cool stuff on that system. And, you know, it was Bally, so they could do some stuff that other people couldn't do at the time. Are you seeing it?
Yeah, it was originally referred to as the Bally Home Library Computer and was released in 77.
That's a terrible name.
Yeah, but then it became, in 82, it became Astrocade.
And there was also another one that was branded as the Bally Professional Arcade. But I don't know. And then, you know what was really funny? Montgomery Ward's had their own version of it that was just labeled like Montgomery Ward's something, something game system, and it was white instead of black or brown or whatever color it was.
Well, it shows a list of all the games, and there's a lot.
Yeah, there were a lot of games for it. It was cool. It was a cool system. And what was cool was there was a part of the console that had this little smoked plastic dust cover, and you could lift that up and store the controllers inside of it. So it was all like nice and compact. It was really cool.
No pictures here. I'm on Wikipedia, so no pictures.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah. I probably still have pictures from the auction that I did somewhere. But you know what was really interesting too, and I wonder if this is going to happen again. Okay, so for a long time, the two main console systems were the Atari VCS and the Intellivision.
Right.
And then one magical day, all of a sudden there was the ColecoVision, which, by the way, I'm still going to write the be-all, end-all article on the ColecoVision as soon as I can nail down some of these other interviews. But I wonder when that's going to happen again, because then it was, you know, Nintendo and Sega after the first crash.
Right.
Then it was Nintendo and Sega for a long time. And then it was Nintendo, Sega, and Sony.
Right.
And then Sega went away. And then Microsoft showed up. So do you think there's ever going to be another challenger?
I don't know.
Or do you think it's too much of a... Because games are so big now.
Right.
Is it too much of a thing where people are not going to be willing to...
It could go the other direction. I mean, people say now casual gaming is you know,
getting
becoming
big
so
again.
Huge that, you know, between like the games on the iPhone.
Right.
And
games like on Xbox Live Arcade and...
Right. I mean, to the point where, like, you know, PSP tried to be a console in a little thing.
Yeah.
And it let's be honest, it hasn't done well.
Right.
You know, so... Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if things will continue to get bigger or if they'll start to go the other way.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think we'll ever reach the point, because people always say that maybe we'll reach the point where there'll just be one console. I don't know that we'll ever reach that.
I can't imagine that. The only way that would work is if the console is basically a conduit to, like, you know, a cloud version of the Xbox or the Sony. So, like, you don't have to buy a PlayStation or an Xbox. You'll have this, because what was that thing that came out recently?
Right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
We've talked about it before, but it's...
Keep in mind, there's no notes or outlines.
I'm sorry. But you know what I'm talking about, right? That little thing that you get and then you like stream your games.
Right.
So in that kind of a situation, basically you would buy that thing and then it almost becomes like a cable TV model where the different publishers, you know, have their content and you're paying for content through a device that's basically a conduit. And I could see it going there if broadband speeds are, you know, permeate enough of the market where pretty much everyone's got them. Because I always assume that everyone's got broadband, but I'm sure there are a lot of places that don't have broadband.
Oh, I'm sure.
So, I mean, even in the suburbs here, there are places where you can't get broadband.
Sure.
Which is kind of weird.
I think we might reach a point, too, where cable companies or satellite companies start to, you know.
Offer game channels kind of thing?
Yeah. Couldn't you see that?
Yeah. Especially if that device and service.
Well, yeah, I mean I'm keeping that device in mind. So then you would like
it'd be great if we could remember the name of that device.
Oh my God. I don't it's even embarrassing. Know what to search for.
It's embarrassing. Look up streaming gaming device. See if you can find anything that way. Because I think we've actually posted something about it on pause.com, so
yes, we have. On live.
On live, right. So, like, if that kind of thing takes off, then you're right. I could see, you know, AT&T and Comcast and Verizon doing that. Especially Verizon if they roll out Fios to more locations, because those speeds are huge. But, yeah, and then I don't really know how I feel about that. You know, because there's something... It's the
well, yeah,
because
you're kind of against the whole convergence thing.
Well... It's not that. It's just that the games that I like to play most, usually I enjoy playing more on the computer.
Right.
But, I mean, I still like console gaming. It's just I don't, you know, I don't have as much opportunity to play those games because I guess that's kind of not really true. Because if I'm playing games after the rest of my family goes to sleep anyway, it doesn't matter if I go upstairs or downstairs. But I don't know why. I don't know why. I just...
Well, this OnLive service, I'm looking a little at their website, gives the option of either doing it on your computer or on your TV. So if you do it on your
really?
TV, you get a micro console. If you do it on your PC, it's browser plugin.
That's so weird. Like how that would work.
Right. And let's just look at a list of the games that they are offering now. Burnout Paradise, Fear 2, Tomb Raider.
Wow.
I mean, the latest Tomb Raider.
Yeah. That's so wild. I wonder if they're, you know, if people are buying it. How much does it say how much the micro box thingy is? Let's if you see. Do it on your TV.
Oh, you know what? It hasn't even come out yet. It's winter 2009.
Oh, okay.
But here, let's click for the specs. Maybe it gives the price.
Now, did you just read the games off that you thought were bigger games, or were those
the
only ones?
No, it says those were the hot new games.
Oh, okay. The hot new games for the service that's not yet available.
Right, exactly. That won't be hot new games by the time the service comes out.
Are they still going to be hot new games? I don't think so.
You can sign up for the beta.
Yeah.
Maybe you should.
Maybe I should. You're right. Because it'd be cool to see if it works.
Right.
Because I wonder how it would deal with stuff like, you know, different resolution monitors and all that kind of stuff.
Right. It's also available for the Mac.
The Macintosh computer
yes.
system by Apple.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't see any prices, but interesting.
That is interesting. Okay, well, I think we're done talking about games for now, right? Right? Are we done?
Yeah.
Or did you want to add anything else?
BS about some other stuff.
All right, cool. We will be back in a minute to talk about TV. Okay, we're back, and we're going to talk about television now. What have you seen? Well, we need to talk about Top Chef.
Okay, let's talk about Top
First
Chef.
Of all, there's been a joke, basically, you know, in the blogosphere, if you will, in past years about how in every season of Top Chef, there has to be somebody with a faux hawk.
Uh-huh.
They could just as easily, instead of calling this Top Chef Vegas, they could have just as easily called this season Vegas Inc. Every single contestant has like crazy tattoos.
Yeah.
And they all have like a bad attitude. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
There are maybe two or three contestants who so far after the first 2 weeks I find to be likable. And the rest of them I find to be really off-putting.
Right.
The two kind of bigger dudes, Kevin. Right,
I
who I think I think
is that Kevin, the red hair with
I think,
the beard. And
yeah, I think he won the first week. Right,
uh-huh. Him well, to me, he looks like maybe he was born a woman.
Are you being serious?
I'm sure that's not the case. But for another episode of What's Wrong with His Face, his eyes. There's something about his eyes where he looks like
he used
was
to be a girl.
Maybe at one point a girl.
I don't know. I didn't get that at all. You think he's trying to cover it up with a beard?
No, but that would be a good cover-up.
It would be.
Yeah.
Because most women do not have the beard.
No, not the attractive ones anyway.
No. Well, at least not what's traditionally considered attractive. I mean, there are a lot of fetishes out there, so you never know. But, no, and then Eli, he seems okay. You know who I'm talking about?
No. I'm kind of sick. Let me tell you a couple things I'm sick of.
Okay.
I'm sick of the brothers always pointing out that they're brothers and that though they're brothers, they're competing against each other. Yeah, we get it.
That was like a couple, I don't know if it was last season or the season before that when there were the two girls who were a couple and they kept talking about how they were a couple. It's like, you already mentioned that.
Right.
Can you just cook something good now?
And on that note, I was a little, no, you're caught up on Top Chef, right?
Uh-huh.
I was a little irritated by the fact that the one girl was so offended by the challenge.
And we need to, this is what I want to talk about.
Okay.
I totally get why she is upset about the fact that gay couples cannot marry.
I agree.
I totally get that. All right.
But
so does that mean everybody else should suffer the same fate as
like,
you?
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, does that mean she'll never cater a wedding?
I know. Like, it's like, if you're going to be in this business, I'm sorry, unless you're already famous, you don't exactly get to pick who you're going to cook for.
Not only that, does that mean that you don't even talk to straight people who get married?
Like, right. Or so somebody comes in, oh, we're here, for, you know, we just got married and we're on our honeymoon. Oh, really? Guess what? You're going to get your food spit in. I mean, give me a break. And she was like so upset about it. And she kept talking about it
over and over.
Ridiculous. And then she screwed up anyway. Although I will say the watermelon thing looked really cool.
Yeah.
How do you slice? Do you have to freeze something to slice it that thin first?
Probably. Yeah.
That was cool.
I mean, any carpaccio
is
frozen, so you can slice it thin.
Yeah,
so.
Didn't somebody a couple of seasons ago do a fish carpaccio, and then everyone's like, why would you freeze a fish?
Right.
Because that's just dumb.
Right. But it does happen at fine restaurants.
I would assume for the same reasons that we don't yet have working cryogenics technology. Because once you freeze any kind of, like, tissue, like, you know, animal tissue,
right.
it gets ice crystals in it.
And it thaws at a different texture and
right. And it's totally right. And you know, with you've fish, it's bad because it tastes bad. With a human who's trying to come back to life, it's bad because then you die.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, and then you wasted all that money. There are still companies that do that though. That like freeze you, hoping that someday later they'll be able to thaw you out and cure you.
Isn't it said that Walt Disney is frozen?
Yeah. Yeah. Supposedly.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that girl was really annoying. I have to say though, the girl who got sent home, I am so glad she got sent home because I couldn't stand listening to her.
Right.
And she had like the kind of the most annoying voice in the entire world. So today I decided that what I was going to make for you guys is I made this dish that's something that's really close and personal to me. So I hope you like it. Yeah, I put some stuff in it and I cooked it and then I served it on a plate and what do you think?
You've done the perfect mix of Laverne DeFazio and Squiggy.
Who that girl actually sounds a lot like.
But you know who she looks exactly like to me? Mary Kay Letourneau.
Who?
You know that teacher who went to jail for years
because oh,
she
I don't think I ever
had
saw
kids with her
ever.
Student?
Yeah, I don't think I...
Yeah. She looks just like that.
Wow. Not fun to listen to, though, I'll tell you. Wait, hey, Padma, do you smell something? Hello! Hi, I got my dish for you that I cooked for you guys today. So here's what I put in it. I put some leaves. And how about... What's with the one chef, Jen, I think her name is, who seems like she's actually probably pretty good. How come she keeps saying ceviche?
Oh, that's annoying to me.
She's a chef. She should know that it's pronounced ceviche.
Yeah.
That is really weird. And she cooks for like one of Eric Repair's restaurants.
Yeah.
How could she not know how that's pronounced? Oh, gosh. It was like on Top Chef Masters when somebody referred to Hubert Keller.
Oh.
Really? Okay. Whatever. There was something else that happened on this Top Chef that bugged me. I can't remember what it was. But the only thing about the brothers thing that is amusing is how the one brother who's more experienced stuff, you know, was like for a while he kept losing to his
right.
younger brother.
Right.
That was kind of funny. But I'm done with that. I don't care. They're just right. two different guys as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly.
And again, the Jen complaining about the whole boys versus girls thing, who cares? Why would you get upset about that?
Right.
Well, what's the difference between that and if you were randomly paired with half of the
exactly.
contestants? It's no different.
There are a lot more complaining.
Yeah, there's a lot of complaining.
Yeah.
Oh, and here's the other thing. Okay, so the main challenge, the elimination challenge, was that they were catering a bachelor and bachelorette party for a couple that was getting married. And first of all, horrible couple.
Yeah.
The woman was a nightmare. The guy seemed like, you know, just a non-entity.
Well, she's a pescatarian. Was that what the word was?
Pescatarian. She only eats fish. Come on. That's just ridiculous. But she was super annoying and super demanding and just basically unpleasant. And the guy just seemed like a complete non-entity. So anyway, so they were catering the bachelor and bachelorette parties at the same pool. Here are two funny things. First of all, they walk out there, and you know they always do this on Top Chef. Whenever they're at some location or whatever, they always do these talking heads with the contestants about how wonderful it is. And she's talking about how it's the most amazing pool she's ever seen. It was a rectangle.
Right.
It was a rectangle
right.
with some chaise lounges. Okay, why don't you go over to the Mirage and then tell me that this is still right. the nicest pool you've ever seen? Ridiculous. So then not only that, but then remember at the end when the guys all started taking off their shirts and jumping in the pool? Did you notice there were still guests on the chaise lounges there? So they did this while the guests were still having their party? That's terrible.
Yeah.
They must have staged that. You know, they must have told them to do that.
I'm sure.
But anyway. So what else have you seen? There was no...
Well, I want to point out, remember a few months ago, they showed the pilot of Glee, and I went on mm-hmm. and on about how much I loved it.
Yeah.
They're re-airing it tonight.
Oh, they are?
Yes. So...
Okay. I'll have to...
Call home.
Yeah. Phone home.
Yeah. And then it will start... I believe either next week or the following week.
Gotcha. What was I going to say? I was kind of bummed there was no Chopped on this week.
Yeah, but you know, did you see the commercial? They're doing a Chopped championship.
I think I did see that.
Yeah.
Where it's all the winners.
Right. That'll be a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah, that should be interesting.
See if I can find out when that is on.
I think we watched one last weekend, but... You know who cracks me up on Top Chef too is Hector.
Which one's Hector?
The big huge guy with the ponytail and the
okay.
beard. Yeah. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Just because he like always thinks he's like everything he's doing is so great and you know so wonderful, and then they're like, ooh, this is like kind of crap. Although he did pretty well in the last elimination challenge, but he just seems like he's always ready to like pick a fight with somebody. I don't know.
Right.
Seems a little too angry.
I'm not finding the date on the CHOP championship, but
We'll
have that for you. Oh, wait.
Do new shows start this week? Any new shows start this week that you know of? I know you had that list from before, but...
Right, and I don't have it now. I got nothing.
What are you most looking forward to as far as either returning shows
really
or new shows?
I'm really looking forward to Flash Forward.
Yeah, but that doesn't start until spring, right? Does it start spring or is it fall?
I want to say that starts soon.
Oh, really?
I mean, we're seeing... Don't you see a lot of commercials for it?
I really haven't watched any TV. So, no. I thought that was...
September
24th. Oh, that's pretty cool. Well, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that. When does day one start? Because I'm looking forward to that, too.
Do you know what channel it's on?
I do not. NBC, maybe? I think. Right?
2010 mid-season premiere.
Oh, that's the one that I was thinking of that starts. Okay.
You got some time for that one.
Yeah, I got a little time. Flash forward, and then when does Lost come back?
Is that fall or like January?
Okay, so that's also mid-season. Yeah,
January or February.
Okay. And then what else? Well, Chuck, of course, I'm looking forward to. Can't wait for that to start.
Right. And day one will follow Chuck.
Oh, okay. And Heroes?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm excited about that.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you done?
I don't know. I'll give it a, you know, it's just become so lackluster to me, and I'm almost become a little adamant. That's for you, Stretch. Stretch likes to refer to me as Mr. Adamant.
Mr. Adamant.
Which I would prefer it be pronounced Mr. Adam Ant.
Adam Ant, really?
Has less negative connotation then?
Well, I guess it depends on your preferences about cartoon characters.
Or 80s pop singers.
I was always more of a secret squirrel guy myself. I'm trying to think of what else is coming out that I'm looking for. You know what I almost never look forward to when I hear announcements about them? New comedies. They're always so bad.
Yeah.
Like, new comedies almost always stink.
Yeah, that's really hard to get into right away as well.
Right. Because a lot of the stuff becomes funny. Because
I'll tell you, though I am adamant about, you know, my first impressions of things, I gave that Parks and Recreation so much. Yeah. I watched like 4 or 5 episodes and it wasn't funny to me.
Like, a show that I cannot get into is 30 Rock.
Oh, see, that I think is funny.
I get the jokes.
Right.
I just think that...
Well, you have to get used to the way it's done weirdly.
It is. It's very snippy. Yeah. And I don't mean like rude. I mean like little quick little bits.
Right.
And they're all kind of intermingled. I mean.
Well, you know who kind of started. Well, I don't know if they started that, but who their success is based on that was Scrubs.
Scrubs, I think, is funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that show's funny.
But 30 Rock does have their episodes where I'm like, ooh, that was bad. Like that one didn't hit the mark.
You know, I don't really. I guess it's that same problem that I have with a lot of things where I don't really find many of the characters very likable.
Okay.
And I, you know, when you have a show like that, it's really hard to.
I can see that about
for me
that
to get
show.
Into.
Sure.
Because she's very grating to me in that character. And I like her in general. I mean, I've liked a lot of the stuff that she's done, but that character is grating. I like Alec Baldwin's character, but, you know, it's one, you know, and I'm almost surprised that you like the show because they're so over the top ridiculous.
Yeah.
That, but it's still, again, based in reality. And I don't like that combination. I think you have to either kind of go all the way or. Kind of bring it back down a little bit for me.
Yeah,
usually.
I don't think it's as based in reality as you think it is. You know what I mean?
Well, but the problem is that she is not as crazy as everyone else.
Right.
And that kind of bugs me. Like, okay, let's talk about Napoleon Dynamite because that was something that you didn't like that I liked. In that movie, everybody was weird. And so I kind of liked it because it was all consistent.
Right, but I think to me, I mean, this is obviously my opinion. 30 Rock to me is more clever than Napoleon Dynamite was. I mean, I just thought
I could see that. I could see that, but I guess I just don't really appreciate the brand of cleverness that it's using.
Right.
Because a lot of it is like attitude comedy, and I don't really like attitude comedy.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, it's like Tracy Morgan's character, like, don't like him. What's her name, the blonde who used to be on Ally McBeal?
Jane Krakowski.
Oh, my God. Cannot stand her character.
Yeah.
Just, like, completely unlikable characters, a lot of them.
I agree.
So I just cannot get into that show.
Right. I certainly don't. I mean, I like it. I certainly don't think it's worth winning the Comedy Emmy every year.
Yeah.
I mean, I certainly think that The Office has more heart, first of all.
Definitely.
It is. I think The Office is more clever.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, The Office is definitely guilty of some of those transgressions, too.
Sure.
Especially with Michael's character. They just take him too far sometimes, which right. we've talked about
but
before.
But then they'll reel him back in, and there'll be an episode where he has some
moment,
heart.
Yeah. They give him moments where he has his, like, because, you know, and what's great about that is the people who I've known who have been a lot like him, and unfortunately I've known a few, they were just like that. They were just so annoying to be around most of the time. They said the worst things. They were embarrassing. But then they'd have these moments where they were like, just showed you that they were actually like such good people and really, you know, took care of the people around them. And,
right.
you know, that it made it tolerable to right. to be around those people. So that's why I kind of appreciate that. But I wonder what's going to happen this season. Because, you know, Jim and Pam are probably going to get married.
Right.
We know that, right?
Because she's pregnant.
Right, because she's pregnant. And so there's going to be a baby at some point.
Right. I'd like them to bring Holly back a little.
Yeah.
I kind of like her. That whole thing.
Maybe do you think they'll do a spinoff where it's like The Office Babies?
What?
Well, you know, they did the Muppet Babies. And yeah, they did didn't they do some superhero babies cartoon or something like that?
I don't remember that.
I don't know. So yeah, I am looking forward to The Office, of course. I'm trying to think of what else.
You know what does not look good to me as far as new comedies, and I hate to say this because I really think that he's funny, is that new Joel McHale show, Community. All those clips they've shown, nothing funny in it. The
yeah,
one where he's like the Spanish teacher at a community college.
Think,
the one
right,
with Chevy Chase in it.
Right.
I worry for that because they, you know, if you're going to show a new show clips from a new comedy, make sure they're funny.
Yeah, right. I don't remember. I think I saw one commercial for it a few weeks ago. I want to say I had the same impression.
Yeah.
That it was like, ooh, this could hurt.
Yeah. I'll give it a chance.
Yeah, because but I like him a lot.
I do like him a lot. And,
he's
you know,
great.
I just watched The Soup this weekend and still continuously funny.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're making fun of reality TV. Right. Oh, I saw some list of all the new reality shows and returning reality shows. There's way too many. There's like 40 or 50 reality shows. Either starting or coming back this season.
I had read a statement from someone big at VH1 that now because of this guy who killed his wife.
Right.
And who was on one of their shows.
Yeah.
Now
did they suddenly grow a conscience?
Yeah.
That's
and
awesome.
I mean, they're not just saying, oh, we're going to, you know, do background checks a little better. But they're going to scale back on all these just ridiculous dating shows that are all spun off from, you know.
They are so stupid.
Once Flavor of Love took off, then anyone who was on those shows has a dating show.
Right. Right.
Which I don't know if you caught any of My Antonio with Antonio Sabato Jr.
No.
Ugh, ghastly.
Really?
Yeah, terrible. I mean, they're all the same.
What's that show about?
It's trying to find a date for Antonio Sabato Jr. and his mom's involved.
With girls or guys?
Girls.
Oh, I thought he was gay.
No.
Oh. Who am I thinking of?
I don't know. Neil Patrick Harris?
No. No, believe me, I was not thinking of Neil Patrick Harris. That guy's getting too much work already as it is. He doesn't need
more. Yeah, but I enjoy him. He's funny.
Yeah, he does seem, again, funny.
And, you know, I've caught recently a couple episodes of How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
And overall, I'm not a huge fan of the show, but there are some really funny moments in that show.
Yeah, I think you mentioned that last week.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
I stand by what I said.
There you go. Adamant in both directions.
There you go.
What else is coming back, though? I'm trying to think of, isn't there any new, well, there. Wait a minute. Isn't there some new sci-fi stuff starting other than Day One and Flash Forward? Well, I feel like I'm forgetting something. Well, Caprica. But, you know, it's such a different flavor. Did you see the
movie?
The movie. I mean, it's a completely different kind of story than, Battlestar Galactica.
Right.
It's not based out in space.
It's not your mother's Battlestar Galactica.
It's not even your Uncle Charlie's Battlestar Galactica.
Ah.
No, it's planet based, and it's much more of a like political and I guess Battlestar Galactica was political and social, but I don't know. This has a completely different flavor to it. I enjoyed it. I just don't know what the show is going to be like. I feel like I'm forgetting something though, something big.
I'm looking. I'm not finding a lot. See, that's why we make an outline.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, what about shows that you know are coming back that you can't believe are coming back?
You mean like Heroes? Come on, you have to admit the Heroes does not have the it just doesn't catch me like it did when it first came out.
You know, I think it goes back and forth for me. You know, it'll have its weaker episodes, and then its episodes that I'm like, wow, that was really cool.
But it just seems like
there's a lot of
repetition in the same way they do things.
Give me an example of what you mean.
Well, I mean, their characters will do anything. Like, how many times has Nathan been good and bad?
Yeah.
I mean, like, if they make him bad again, like, he's bad again.
Yeah.
Or, like, just the whole Claire and, like, not getting along with her father and then just getting along with her father and just the...
Right.
It's just a lot of the same things over and over to me that, like...
A lot of product placement for the Nissan Rogue.
Or the Cube. Or...
Oh, my gosh. We went and looked at the Cube.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how that car got released.
Why?
There is no room inside that car.
Really?
Well, because it looks like it would be huge.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, it's got about 8 feet of headroom. It's the strangest thing.
Wow.
It's like, I mean, I'm 6 feet tall, and I get in there, and there was like a foot and a half above my head.
Wow.
It was the strangest thing. But
did you feel like you were driving a mail truck?
A little bit, and I kind of like that part of it, except that I was on the wrong side. Yeah. But the dashboard layout I didn't care for. The materials were, you know, kind of eh. You know what I mean? Not the greatest materials used inside. But the worst part was that when you open the back, which I don't remember.
Does it open?
I think it opens sideways.
Okay.
There's like literally a foot of room.
You're kidding.
At most. And the back seats are angled back towards the top, of course.
You can't even put
anything. Can't even put any, like a big box back there. Or
right.
I mean, there's no room. Like, let's put it this way. We're looking at it because we're looking at small SUVs now that we have a kid. There's no way in hell we would fit his stroller in the back of that car.
Wow.
Ridiculous.
Wow.
And it's not cheap. It's like $20,000+.
Right.
Oh, no. You know, maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe it's not quite. But no room in that car. I really like the way it looks on the outside. I think it's cool looking, very funky.
Yeah, it's cool looking now, but will it be cool 3 years
from now? I think so, because
now?
The first time I saw it was like, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago, because it's been on sale in Japan forever. And even then, I thought, you know, even that version of it, I thought was pretty cool. Maybe not 7 or 8 years ago, but it's been out in Japan for a while. You know, I think they were afraid to release it here because it's asymmetrical and people like freak out about that.
Well, this year they start at 14, so.
Yeah. Okay. So they are cheap.
That's just your basic Cube.
Literally. And the Rogue was completely sold out. No dealerships have the Rogue.
Wow.
Apparently. Hot seller, ladies and gentlemen. Now, we didn't get to see that one because they didn't have one, but so I don't know. I have to say, though, I'm not a huge Nissan fan. I had a Maxima.
You did have a Maxima.
And had some troubles with it. And the dealership experience for service and stuff like that.
Terrible.
Very terrible.
Yeah.
One time when my car was in for standard maintenance, they ran into it with another car and refused to fix it.
You're kidding.
Because they said, well, it's not our responsibility. I'm like, but you ran into it. How is that not your responsibility? Refused to fix it. Corporate, what corporate told me was, oh, well, they're franchised. You have to talk to the dealer.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Absolutely terrible.
I can't believe you'd even consider another Nissan after that.
I wouldn't really, but she wanted to see it.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I would never personally buy another Nissan for me.
So basically she wears pants to the family is what you're saying.
No, well, she does wear a lot of pants. And come to think of it, I do have quite a few kilts. But we won't go
you're
there.
Not even Scottish. That's the weird thing. You just like the look.
I like the feel of it. It's very freeing. You know what I'm saying? Unlike the guy on X Factor. Do we need to talk about that?
We can talk about that, sure.
Okay, so, you know, there's this guy, X Factor has been in the news a lot because there was this guy named Daniel...
Johnson,
maybe? It's kind of coincidental.
I should
if you
be
think
able
about
to
it.
Find it because he spells it with a Y.
Yeah, it was
Johnson,
a weird spelling.
It is.
Who's a teacher somewhere in the UK, and he came out and blasted out this performance of...
With a little help from my friends.
And it was a good performance, but again, kind of a strange song because he only sings half of it.
Yeah, and you know what? It just, to me, for you know, for people, for Simon Cowell saying it was the best first audition he's ever seen, it harkened a little too closely to the Joe Cocker version for me. Yeah. I mean, it was the Joe Cocker version.
Yeah, right, right. And I understand what you're saying about that, but I think overall, if you consider his vocals and his stage presence,
sure,
which was phenomenal,
sure,
I'm probably going to have to agree that at least on any of these kind of shows that I've ever seen, definitely the best, like most entertaining first audition.
Well, part of the reason being because he was so comfortable. I mean, he wasn't like up there like all nervous and like, right, he had fun with it. I mean, it was almost like he went there just oh, sure, right, I'll try.
And
it
wasn't just
like,
that he was comfortable. I mean, he was really getting people into the performance.
Right.
And he's a very nice looking guy, except for the like kind of sometimes crazy bug eyes. So like the female judges were like kind of all gaga over him and, right, and stuff like that. And he seemed nice. Although I've heard stories that sometimes on these shows,
there's already stories on. Oh, I thought you meant,
well,
on this guy.
I just heard stories that sometimes on these shows, there are contestants who seem really nice when you see them on TV. And then you hear stories about them in real life. And there's like terrible people.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
So, you know,
let's just say, and I'm going to be very vague, that I had a little experience with a American Idol winner over the weekend.
That's not that vague. You just said winner. There's only a few of those.
There's like seven of those.
Okay. Well, anyway. And this person was
not nice.
Not pleasant at all. Right?
Yeah, that's all I can say.
You see, I said person.
I said too much.
You see, I said person. Yeah. I didn't even give away the gender.
Yes.
But anyway. So yeah, okay. So that was the first thing that X Factor was in the news for.
Right.
And then they were in the news because some other contestant named Steve, something like that. Some 50-year-old guy came on the show, and I don't even know why he was on the show. Like, what was his talent that he was bringing?
I don't know.
Although I suppose now that's debatable. But why don't you tell people what the deal was?
Apparently, the whole audition process must arouse him. And so while he was auditioning, he was aroused.
And they took every opportunity to focus on that.
Right.
And make jokes about it.
As did the camera.
That's what I mean, with the camera. And then the judges were all commenting on it.
Yeah, but I'm going through the video right now, and I can't even really see what he's supposed to be doing.
Like what he was there auditioning for, you mean?
I think he's singing.
Oh. Huh.
Yeah. But the judges they're not. No.
what are you trying to say?
Too distracted while I'm watching.
Yeah,
right there.
Yeah, they're too distracted. Yeah. Yeah, so that was really weird. Now, wasn't he going to do that show here in the U.S. too?
The X Factor?
Yeah.
I don't know. How is it any different from America's Got Talent?
I don't understand
that
either.
Is it just singing?
And wasn't he behind Britain's Got Talent? Or was that not him? So, again, I don't understand. Oh, maybe it is just singing.
Maybe. I mean, it's different than American Idol in that they can be any age.
Right.
And it seems to be a little less structured, maybe.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Now, American Idol, that doesn't start till January, right?
Usually. Yes, because they're actually doing another season, which starts in a couple weeks of So You Think You Can Dance, which is odd to me because it just ended.
Really?
Yeah.
I just don't see how there are that many people interested in dancing to support all these dancing shows.
That one's really good. That's why. And that one gets great ratings. I mean, its ratings are almost as good as Idol.
No.
I think so.
There's no way. There's no
maybe
way.
Not. Okay, maybe not as good as Idol. But that's because it's in the summer. It's always aired in the summer. We'll see how it does in the spring.
Yeah.
I mean, because summer, in general, TV viewership
right,
is way down.
Yeah.
So we'll
people
see.
Are outside enjoying the nice weather.
Yes.
The weather here has turned. It was like 100 degrees. And now it's been like 40-something at night.
Right.
It's crazy. That's Chicago for you, though.
It's certainly not. I don't know where global warming figures in, but.
Yeah. Although people will say, well, that's what global warming means. Yeah. Going to get hot over
although
there.
Although in California, it's been, you know, it's been 100 every day. Plus, you know.
In LA,
throw
I mean?
In some, yeah, throw in some wildfires.
Yeah. Now, and that's unusual, right? It's usually not that hot there.
It can get that hot, but not continually.
Right. You know, the whole thing that's weird about global warming, though, is, you know, our...
We're really going to just talk about anything.
Well, that's
we?
Fine. We need to. But the whole thing is that, you know, the climates of different parts of the Earth have changed over the years. I mean, you know, whether it was due to an ice age and whatever brought that on, or, you know, the sun's output goes up and down.
Right.
You know, it has low points and high points, and I think we're getting closer to one or the other. I can't remember which one. Maybe a high point, and that would make sense. You know, sunspot activity changes stuff, and, you know, there's evidence that the Earth's magnetic pole has shifted numerous times over the, you know, millennia. And all these things change the climate, so it's to even if we're accelerating it, I can't imagine we're accelerating it that much.
Right.
Beyond what it's already going to do.
I mean, even before humans, and I understand that it could still threaten humans, but doesn't the Earth naturally adapt to whatever changes there are?
Absolutely. I mean, grass. There wasn't grass originally. You know what I mean? There was no grass
right. A
long time ago. There were just like these broadleaf plants. I mean, and keep in mind, the Earth used to be a good 15, 20 degrees hotter entirely than it is now. And it only cooled down after the ice age, you know, or ice ages. You know, and that's one of the reasons a lot of the dinosaurs became extinct,
right.
I think, is having to do with the fact that the climate changed so much that they couldn't adapt to it. You know, global warming, sure, it's bad and all, but if it gets warm enough, at least then we might have dinosaurs again, and that's really cool.
So there you have it.
There you have it. You know, here's what I find weird, because, you know, there are a lot of different theories about why the dinosaurs became extinct, whether it was just because of the ice age and they couldn't adapt, or because of some cataclysm like, you know, meteor hitting or something, which there have been some that could have spawned the ice ages and stuff. But then you have to wonder, like, how did certain species survive that? Like, sharks have been around as long as the dinosaurs, basically unchanged. The horseshoe crab has been around. Well, that's true. Has been around that long, basically unchanged. So how come they were able to survive?
Water. I don't know. That's just my answer. Water.
But there were dinosaurs in the water, too.
Loch
Ness. Is that where you're going with this?
They should have stayed in the water.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll tell them next time I see you. Next time I see a plesiosaur, I'll give it some Tony advice. All right. Anything else about TV?
Nope.
Okay. Wow. You really want to move on, don't you?
I got more nonsense to throw at you later.
All right, cool. We will be back in a minute to talk about movies. All right. We're back and we're going to talk about movies now. I don't think I actually saw anything this past week. I'm trying to think, but I don't think so.
I did, actually. I saw, on cable, I saw Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist.
Okay.
And it was cute. I liked it. I mean, I really like Michael Cera, but it made me feel old. Like, I felt completely out of the loop of, you know, there are some teenage movies you can watch and, like, still feel somewhat of a connection with, but this I didn't.
Yeah.
Just because teens nowadays, I mean, I think for people that age, it probably really captures something, but teens nowadays are so different than they were when we were teens, that, you know, I couldn't completely relate to it. And I do want to point out something without going too far off track, that isn't it weird how now, like, geekdom or being a geek is cool, whereas when we were teens it was not?
Well, it's because being a geek now can make you wealthy. And
do you think that's it?
I think so because, I mean, with all the dot com stuff that's happened over the past however many years and everything. And I think that's part of it. And because people can make serious amounts of money off of it, it's more socially acceptable.
Accepted. Okay.
And so things like, I mean, just look at something like Comic-Con that used to be like, you know, people would be like, ew, Comic-Con, what are you, some kind of loser? And now it's like every major...
It controls Hollywood.
Exactly. I mean, it's like, it's insane.
Right.
It's like a huge deal now.
Right.
And a mainstream huge deal.
Right.
I think it's a lot of things, but I think, you know, popularity a lot of times follows, you know, looks and money.
Right.
And humor.
Right.
So,
well, this movie is, I mean, almost every character in this movie, with the exception of one or two, is for all intents and purposes a geek. And the ones that aren't are the ones that are kind of like made
the
fun
outcasts,
of.
Right. Yeah.
And there's just a coolness to it. I mean, the whole story is how he had broken up with his girlfriend, who is not a geek, and he, throughout the night, it's just kind of an Adventures in Babysitting type thing where you know, they're kind of lost in the city a little, and you know, things happen, and they've got to find this girl that was drunk, and
right,
and so they just come across all these things happening.
Yeah,
and but throughout the movie, they're trying to find this band that plays at, like, you know, they don't really tell people where they're playing. You're just supposed to find out where they're playing. And but the whole geek thing kind of, like, fuels it and makes them, you know, that's what makes everything cool.
Right.
There's also some gay characters in there that are really well done as well.
Yeah.
I don't know. I liked it. I appreciated it for all of those things. I mean, that it didn't stereotype.
Yeah.
I mean, they were the cool ones, but right. They were geeks.
Right.
And, you know, he wasn't the good looking one. You know, he's, you know, not great looking.
Kind of goony looking.
Kind of scrawny.
Yeah.
Pipsqueak.
Yeah.
But yet,
it's
you
a
know.
Goony looking mofo.
But,
you can say it.
Sure. but you know, he gets the girl.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, like, talking. There's intelligent, you know, it's.
Wait, Michael Cera
is the one from Superbad and Year One.
Oh, right.
The
okay. Okay. I was thinking of a different one, but yeah. Okay. I know you're talking about.
That's
not who I was thinking of. So I take back the goony looking mofo.
Yeah. Who were you thinking of?
I was thinking of McLovin.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why. That's who I was picturing in my head.
No, but that's another thing. I mean, even looking at Superbad, he was a total geek, but then was kind of the cool one in the movie.
Right. Well, I don't know if anyone would say he was actually cool. He was kind of, the thing that was funny about him was that he was so far, he was nerdy. He wasn't
right.
Just geeky.
Right.
And he was so clueless about how nerdy he was that he thought it was cool. And
then by the end of the movie, everyone else thought he was cool.
Right, because the
cops
related to him.
Related to him, sure.
Exactly.
Another thing that was great about this movie was just, it was teens speaking intelligently rather than teens being, you know, stereotyped and talking like idiots.
Right. Yeah, you know, I think that can actually work against a movie. Like, that kind of annoyed me in Juno.
Well, I was going to say, I was just going to preface that, not to the point where they're a little, like, wisecracking,
like
smart alecky Juno. Yeah, because I didn't care for Juno.
Yeah, see, I liked Juno as a movie, but I thought that the writer did a bad job of making them teenagers because they said so many things that teenagers just would not say, I don't think.
Right.
I mean, okay, yeah, there are teenagers who are very funny, and there are teenagers who make a lot of cultural references that are very funny. I don't think Soupy Sales is one of them. Okay? You kind of blew the whole thing with the Soupy Sales joke.
Right. Also, don't you think...
Because a lot of people our age don't even know who Soupy Sales is.
Right.
So some 16-year-old is going to know Soupy Sales?
And don't you think if she was that smart... I mean, because they tried to make her the smartest person in the movie. If
right.
she was that smart, would she have really gotten pregnant?
Well, you know what? I don't buy that argument because you can be smart and... You know, the thing about being a teenager is that you're all over the place. You can be smart. You can be completely a slave to your emotions and your hormones all at the same time.
Right.
And I think a lot of people are. I mean, I can think back to high school... our high school or, you know, high school that friends of mine went to and people who I know, you know, through other friends and stuff like that, people who were like super smart and still went through those kind of issues.
Right.
So I don't really think those two things are mutually exclusive, but I just think that she was written, her dialogue was way too old for her.
Right.
In a lot of the movie.
Right.
I still liked it though. Now I forget... Did you ever see Saved?
No.
That was a good movie. You should check that out. There's some really funny stuff in there.
That would be the Mandy Moore.
It was actually very good.
Yeah?
It was very good. It was very
Macaulay good. Macaulay Culkin vehicle.
Macaulay Culkin in a wheelchair. Don't need no wheelchair now dating that Mila Kunis.
Is he still dating her?
I don't know.
No. You just wanted to say it like that.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if it's true. I just want to say that.
Exactly. I have no idea. Where's he been? And that was the last thing I saw him in.
Let's see.
You know who's another person who I want to know what she's been up to? Elizabeth Shue. What has she been doing?
I don't know.
She was like kind of a big deal when we were growing up, you know? When we were teenagers.
Macaulay Culkin was on that TV show Kings, apparently. And he does a lot of stuff on Robot Chicken.
Oh, okay. Well, look up Elizabeth Shue, see what she's got coming down the pipe, as it were.
Now, I happen to know that Elizabeth, in her case, is spelled with an S and not a Z.
Ooh.
So I have the up
You are up on your celebrity spellings. you got Daniel with a Y. You got Elizabeth with an S.
She's been working. I mean, she was in that Hamlet 2 movie.
What? Hamlet 2?
It came out like...
Like as in Shakespeare?
Within the last year. Yeah, but it was kind of a... I don't know much about it.
Okay.
Yeah, it was.
Well, why'd you say it like that Hamlet 2 movie? Like, well, was that movie that everyone was talking about?
It was out in the... No, I didn't mean it like that.
It's like when people say, you know, that Star Wars.
She... She is in a movie with... Oh, wait, I've gone too far. I'm always going too far. She's in a movie with Thomas Hayden Church.
Oh, which one?
That Don McKay is its name.
I don't know. I never heard
of
it.
A high school janitor who leaves his hometown after a tragedy, returns 25 years later to rekindle a romance with his old flame.
Is she the flame?
Who is dying of cancer. Apparently so.
That's so sad.
Yeah, but then she's got some stuff in production. Piranha 3D.
What?
Piranha 3D.
Elizabeth Shue.
Yes.
Isn't she better than that? She plays the sheriff. Isn't she better than that?
Well, apparently not. There's some big names in it.
Oh, really?
Jerry O'Connell. Well, not big names. Jerry O'Connell.
I like Jerry O'Connell.
Ving Rhames. Christopher Lloyd.
Really?
Richard Dreyfuss.
Christopher Lloyd and Richard Dreyfuss?
Uh-huh.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Christopher Lloyd, like Back to the Future, right?
Piranha 3D.
Wow, now I'm kind of excited about that.
She's also in a movie called The Hard Ride with Val Kilmer.
Oh, yeah.
And Christopher Atkins.
What? Christopher Atkins, who's that?
Blue Lagoon.
Really?
Yeah.
He's still acting, huh?
And then she's got one other that comes out in 2010.
Now, most of the movies you just mentioned, are they in production?
Yes.
Okay. Because she seemed like she was kind of poised to be sort of a bigger deal than I think she ever actually became.
Right.
Because Karate Kid, I think, was the first thing I ever saw her in. And she was fantastic in that. And then Adventures in Babysitting was, I think, her first, like, where she was really the star.
Right.
And then...
Well, then she was in Cocktail. That was huge.
Yeah, right. That was huge.
Then she disappeared for a while, but then she came. She was nominated for an Oscar for Leaving Las Vegas.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
your wife's favorite movie.
One of them. She hasn't mentioned it in a long time though.
Yeah.
I think she may have given up that phase of her life. But yeah, and she was good in that. I don't know if I think it was Oscar worthy. I just it's hard for me to really enjoy a movie that's that depressing and dark. Like I'm sure I've mentioned this before, but Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah.
Great movie, but could never watch that again.
Right.
And then I liked her in The Saint. That was like the next kind of big mainstream.
So another pairing with Val Kilmer.
There you go. I wish they would do a sequel to that. I really enjoyed that movie. Did you ever see that?
No, I never saw that.
Oh, really? That's a great movie. That's a really, because that was during a time when all the Bond movies kind of sucked.
Uh-huh.
And so then you had this movie that kind of came out of nowhere. And it was a really good movie. It was really cool. Plus it was the first movie I think that I ever saw. Oh, gosh. What is his name? Will you just look up The Saint really quick?
Uh-huh.
And like that Raji Sheboygadin or whatever his name is. Do you know who I'm talking about?
No. Sheboygadin? No.
I can't remember his name. But so look up The Saint. And then he should be this guy that I'm thinking of should be like the one of the top three.
Rade. You weren't far. Rade Serbegia.
Okay. But you know who he is, right? Look at his picture. You've seen him probably in a million things.
Yes.
And that was the first time I ever saw him was in that movie. But that was a really good movie.
He'll be in the next Harry Potter movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of stuff. But
he's on 24.
Yep. That's true.
As Dmitry Gridenko.
Sure, Dmitry Gridenko. I like him. He's got a great presence, that guy. Great character actor. I'll have to bring that in so you can watch it because that's a really good movie.
Is it in high def?
I do not know. Are you done with standard def now? Is that it?
No, I don't want to get emails saying, what, you won't even watch anything in standard def?
I won't. I'll tell you right now, if it's available in high def, I will not watch it on DVD.
I'm the same way.
Well, why would I?
Right.
I got exactly. All the stuff.
Exactly.
Why would I want to watch some crappy old standard definition?
Exactly.
So I have to just say this is kind of funny because one of our neighbors, Betsy, who, you know, she's like our mom's
age. I've met Betsy.
Right. You know Betsy. So she decided that she's remodeling her like what's our family room. Uh-huh. Hers is unfinished. And she uses it for her business, which is making jewelry.
Uh-huh.
And so she decided that she's going to have the room redone. So they started working on her floors.
Does this
today.
Have anything to do with movies at any point?
It does.
Okay.
So, well, it has to do with movies and TV. So she decided that she was going to get a new TV and she wanted, you know, a quote unquote fancy new flat screen for down there. But she only wanted a 22 or 23 inch. That's it. So she asked me for some advice and I gave her advice on what to look for and what not to look for, what to avoid and that sort of thing. And I told her, you know, to go to Apt, which is this, for people not in this area, Apt is this store. It's ABT, but it's actually pronounced Apt because it's the family who owns it. It's their last name.
Right.
It's been around for like 100 years, basically. They've been selling appliances and then electronics. And it's absolutely huge. It's just a gigantic store. It's very fancy. They have a lot of like really high-end stuff and a lot of stuff that's not really high-end.
A huge, huge aquarium in the middle of the store.
Yeah, I mean, you would not believe how big this store is. In fact, a friend of my ex-wife's used to work for Circuit City.
Uh-huh.
And she told me that when she was going through her management training for Circuit City, that they told her that they considered Apt to be one of their biggest competitors, even though there's only one store, because that one store did more business than all of the Chicago area Circuit Cities combined.
Wow.
Which was insane. But now I don't know if that's true, but that's what they told them. So anyway, so
and they're no longer around, so
Circuit
possible.
City, yeah, right. So there you go. So anyway, so I told her to go to Apt, and she ended up calling them, and then she ended up getting three TVs. She got a 23-inch for her room downstairs. She got a 32-inch for her bedroom because she still had like regular, you know,
right.
two TVs everywhere. And then she got like a 19-inch for her kitchen.
Uh-huh.
Now, the one for the kitchen, she got a 720p, and the other two were both 1080p, which I was very, you know, proud of her that she did the right thing.
Right.
And she got all Samsungs, and so she... So I was working from home yesterday because of my oral surgery, and I happened to be there outside when the app truck pulled up, and I'm like, oh, do you want any help with that? She's like, yeah, they won't set it up. She goes, would you just mind, you know, I won't know how to do it. I don't know how they expect a old woman to do this by herself. That's not right.
Not even really that old.
No, she's like 65. And so, but I told her I'd help her set it up. So I put the stand on the TV, the one in her bedroom, and I went to hook it up and I said, now, how do you want me to set up the screen? She goes, well, what do you mean? I go, well, you have to pick, since you don't have an HD cable box, you have to pick if you want the sides to be blank, if you want the picture to be stretched out so that everyone looks fat and weird, or if you want to cut off the top and bottom of the picture. She goes, what do you mean? I said, you don't have an HD cable box. So the HD picture size is different than the old TV size.
Right.
And I said, so you have to make a concession one way or the other. She goes, well, I don't like any of those. And so then she called Comcast while I was there. And she's like, tell them I want to upgrade all my stuff to HD now. So now she's getting like HD boxes everywhere, which is kind of funny. But
all that stuff's going back when she gets her first bill.
Yeah. No. You know, Comcast is actually not that expensive. It's only $7 a month to upgrade to HD, which is
you don't have to tell me.
Not a bad deal at all. But here's what I don't get. Her TV in the kitchen has no cable box. I thought with anything digital, you had to have a cable box.
No.
Really? Maybe that's the way it used to be.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, now the signal is sent, you know, with the whole change thing. I mean, she gets a signal, right?
Yeah. But I don't understand how.
Yeah.
Why even bother having a box then?
Well, she probably only gets the basic channels.
On that TV, you mean?
Yeah.
You know what's another weird thing? On her one in her bedroom, her cable box is like this big. It's like smaller than her cable modem.
Right.
Do you have one of those too?
Yeah. I mean, that's what they originally brought us, but we have HDTVs, so.
So the original cable box, the SD cable box was just a little tiny thing? That's so wild. Yep. That's really cool. They're supposed to be rolling out the whole cable card thing so that you don't have to have, you know, any kind of box. You just stick a card. Basically, the card that's in the cable box would just go right in the TV.
Now, someone had told me, and I don't know if it's true, that Comcast already has this. And if you ask them for it, they don't advertise it.
Really?
And if you ask them for it, they'll give it to you.
Well, why don't you ask them for it then? Your TVs, I'm sure, take cable cards.
But we have premium channels. I don't know if that would still work.
Well, the other thing is then you don't get DVR.
Oh, yeah, and I got DVRs.
So. Yeah, so that's bad. Hmm. But anyway, I just think it's funny how, you know, the whole issue of aspect ratio always confuses people.
Right.
I mean, even people in our generation.
Right.
You know, they're like, what? What do you mean different shape? Huh? What? But anyway. What's coming out this week, movies? What comes out on Friday?
You just threw me for a loop there.
Well, you got to be prepared if you're going to do the show, mister.
I don't know what site to go on for that.
How about Fandango?
Oh, you know what? Got a Rotten Tomatoes.
Do they have a upcoming list?
They have a calendar.
Oh, a calendar.
Let me say I'm a fan of the Rotten Tomatoes.
I know you are.
Opening this week is Gamer.
Oh, with Clive Owen, right?
No, Gerard Butler.
That's what I meant. Gerard Butler.
And something called Extract, which, ooh, I don't know.
Does that look creepy? I think that's creepy.
You've also got All About Steve.
Wait. Can you please go back to Extract?
Yeah.
Tell us what Extract is. Okay. I think we talked about that. I think it's creepy, right? Isn't it creepy?
Oh, no. Actually, I want to see this. This is a comedy. This is by the guy who did Office Space, Mike Judge, who also did Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
And King of the Hill.
Yeah.
Starring one of our favorites, Jason Bateman.
Oh, right.
Have you seen that?
Right. Okay, yeah. Now I know what it is. Yeah. And then Gamer.
Gamer and All About Steve.
All About Steve. Which one is that one?
The Sandra Bullock, Bradley Cooper.
Yes. Probably going to miss that one on purpose.
Yeah.
Although, you know, I have to see. Now I have to see The Hangover. Because so far you're the only person who said anything negative about it. Every other person I talked to says they loved it. And it's one of the funniest movies I've ever seen.
See it.
Yeah, I'll have to see it. Do you know when that's coming out on home video?
Let's see.
All right, here's a little interesting tidbit for some of our listeners who may be younger, maybe not know this. VHS. You know what VHS stands for?
Very high speed.
No. Video home system.
Really?
Yeah. Now, there are some people who say it stands for like vertical helical scan because that has to do with the way that the tape heads worked, but the JVC who invented it says that it stands for video home system. So those people can eat it.
According to IMDb, it comes out on December 31st.
Oh, that's a long ways away. Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess that'll be a post-Christmas watching then.
Yes.
Since that's when it comes out. Okay. So those are the only three movies coming out?
This week. Then next week you have...
I have an issue though now because All About Steve, it's got the Bradley Cooper who I don't like, but it's got the Sandra Bullock who I love.
Yeah, it's a
that's a tough one, and
I think that's one of those cases where you go by review.
Nah, I don't know. I don't trust most reviewers, honestly.
I think if 95% of the reviewers say it sucks, it's gonna suck.
Yeah,
I mean if it's down the middle, I can understand your quandary, but if it's,
right, well. You know, yeah. No, you're right. You're right. If everyone says,
I mean, that's why I really like Rotten Tomatoes because it's
aggregate,
right? And they don't just use the big reviewers.
Yeah,
they use a pretty wide.
Yeah, which
you know
is
what's
good.
Really great about Rotten Tomatoes is you take a movie like you know District 9 where most people loved it, and then you go and you read the negative because it shows you the review. You can click on the reviews
right.
of the people who did or did not like it.
Yeah,
and so it's interesting to read how people's minds work when they see a movie that maybe you loved.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and with that movie specifically, the issue about him, about Vikas not being likable, you know, and Amy reminded me, because we were talking about that again a little bit this morning, Amy reminded me that he actually did at the end, he didn't just do it for himself because he thought he was going to be turned back. He knew he thought he was going to die, I think. And he kept helping him anyway. Because right. He wanted the alien to make it.
Well, isn't that what I said in our last podcast?
Did you say that?
Yeah.
That he thought he was going to die?
Not that he thought he was going to die, but
I don't mean,
but at the end, he realized that he was not going to be helped, but continued to help the alien.
Right, right. Yeah, you're right. So there was a little redemption there, which is good. But, you know, what's funny is our neighbors, our friends who went to see it the other night, the wife, she was saying that the thing that she didn't like about it was, and I forgot about this, but this is actually a really good point. Now, keep in mind that the aliens were not just like insects. I mean, they looked like insects, but they were intelligent. They built stuff. They obviously flew spaceships.
Right.
Vikas spoke their language enough to have conversations with them, or I should say understood their language enough to have conversations with them, and they could understand English, obviously. That scene where he goes into that one hut and like pulls all the plugs on the little babies, that's a tough scene.
Yeah.
Because that makes him really super unlikable.
Right.
I think it would have been much better if he had been witness to it and kind of had a problem with it.
Right.
So that you saw that there was some conscience working there. But yeah, that I remember at the time thinking that I didn't like that you know, that he was doing that. But anyway,
I'm right now while we're talking, I'm looking at reviews of a movie that I'm like, so I picked the movie The Dark Knight because I'm just like, okay, I would assume most people would like that, looking for someone who was like really negative about it. And Christopher Tukey from the UK Daily Mail says, get this, the plot is often impossible to follow and the film, though dark, isn't as deep as some have claimed.
I don't agree with the first statement. I kind of agree with the second statement.
Okay.
I think people projected a lot more depth onto that movie than was actually there.
But
generally speaking,
considering that it's a Batman movie and comparing it
to other Batman movies, you can't really say that.
Why not?
Well, that's like saying this movie is great compared to a pile of shit. Oop. Sorry. Sorry about that. You know what I mean? Which doesn't really, that's not a good endorsement.
Yeah, I'm comparing it to other Batman movies. I mean, it's a comic book. It's superhero movie.
If you say it's got a lot of depth compared to comic book movies, that's fine.
Well, I mean, no, but what I'm saying is how truly deep can a comic book movie be?
As deep as any other film. Why not?
No, it can't.
Why not?
You think a comic book movie can be as deep as a Holocaust movie?
I think it...
A Batman movie.
Well, let's just say this. Considering that comic book caricatures and archetypes are based on elements within all of us.
Okay, but we're speaking about a property that's been around for like 100 years.
Yeah. Has Batman been around that long?
No, I'm just throwing a number out.
So this conversation is all based on lies then, right?
Pretty much.
Okay.
No, my point is,
I'm saying is I think people made it out to be a lot deeper than it really was. There, one big criticism that I heard of that movie, which I actually kind of agree with, is that there kind of was no structure. There was no method to his madness. It was just all chaos. I'm talking about the Joker.
Right.
And that they didn't like it because of that. Now, I actually liked it because of that.
That's what his character
Because I know people who are like that. I know people who thrive on chaos for the sake of chaos itself. Right. And so I don't think that's a negative point. But I still can see the person's point about the fact that the plot really was kind of all over the place. And I'm sure that's why that guy said that, is that it was often incomprehensible. I didn't think there was anything incomprehensible about the plot.
None.
At all. I didn't think it was difficult to follow at all.
I'm just saying that that's one of the reasons why I like this website.
Because you can go and see that stuff.
Hear other people's opinions and like sometimes they're...
I still want to know why there isn't a single employee of Wayne Enterprises who ever recognized the Tumblr on TV and is like, hey, I worked on that project for like 15 years. I mean, come on. It was a military project that they painted black.
Right.
They didn't change it at all. There had to be a bunch of people working on it.
That's funny.
Yeah, but anyway. Christopher Nolan was probably hoping nobody would would think about that, but anyway. So what else is going on with movies? What's coming up? What else is coming up?
I just told you what was coming up.
That's this Friday. What else is coming out this month?
Well, September 9th, that's when 9 comes out. That
oh, cool. 9909. Sure, yeah. That's pretty soon.
So it has to come out then. I mean, they can't push that back.
Today's the 2nd, so that's a week from today, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's cool. I'm very much looking forward to that. It looks really neat. I mean, just visually, it looks like it's going to be stunning to just watch, which sometimes is enough for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, as long as it keeps my attention.
Right. I mean, it's the same reason taking a drive through a nice area is nice, because it's nice to look at.
Then you have a movie, Whiteout, with Kate Beckinsale. Have you seen the commercials for that? That looks kind of good, actually.
I don't think so.
Where she's like trapped in the Antarctica.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that like an action movie? Action disaster movie?
I don't know. I mean, that's how it looks from
the
commercial.
Or is it like a, survival thing, like, Call of the Wild kind of thing or whatever?
Oh, I don't really know. I mean, that could still be action. I don't know. The commercial makes it look like it's action.
Wow, that sounds great, because I love her. Well, I like watching her. Let's put it that way. Not in a creepy stalker way. I mean, I'm not following her on Twitter or anything.
You do have Jennifer's Body coming out on September
18th. Yeah, I have no interest in seeing that. I don't really like Megan Fox.
Yeah. Really? Really? And then let's just end with September 18th. You have that Jennifer Aniston, Aaron Eckhart movie that gives away the whole story in the commercial.
Yeah. I'm not a huge Jennifer Aniston fan, although I actually like Aaron Eckhart.
I am a fan of her probably like as a person, but she makes nothing but crap movies. Like when I see her in interviews and stuff, I think she's very likable.
Yeah.
I loved her
on
Friends.
You know what's so funny is I really like her in interviews too, but I usually don't like her characters in anything that she plays.
No. Well, she plays the same character in every single one, with the exception of The
Good
Girl.
Yeah. And I was going to say that was the only movie of hers that I ever really liked, because I thought she was very real. You know what I mean?
Right. But, you know, all her movies just seem the same.
Yeah.
Although that Marley and Me was supposed to be good, but I won't see any movie. You know, I know how it ends and I can't see that.
Oh, right. Yeah, I heard about that. I'm like, why would I want to see that?
Right. Exactly.
That's terrible.
With my dog sitting on either side of me. No, thank you.
That's pretty funny.
All right.
I guess we're done. Yes, wow, we're Tony done. Wants to move on. Okay, well, then I guess we're going to stop here, folks, and we'll be back in a minute to talk about everything else. Okay, we're back, and we're going to talk about everything else. And
seriously, everything else.
I'm not sure what this is actually going to entail. Well, okay, so I had to have a tooth extracted the other day because, I guess I didn't know this until a few years ago, but apparently the old silver fillings that they used to use are really bad for your teeth because they dry them out. And then that, you know, makes them more susceptible to getting damaged somehow. And as it turns out, I have two molars in the back on the bottom that had silver fillings in them from when I was, you know, much, 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 much younger. And at least one of them had this crack in it. And so I like bit into something that had a bone in it a few years ago. And then it like opened up and I was having like horrible amounts of pain and everything. And so I had to have the tooth root canaled and then put a crown on it and all this kind of stuff. And so the apparently the crack, went down further like below the gum line and stuff. And so the tooth had to come out basically. So I go in there and, you know, I had to update my, it was the same place that took out my wisdom teeth a few years ago. And so I had to fill in my medical history again because, you know, they make you update that every couple of years. And so I wrote on there that I sometimes had high blood pressure. And she's like, well, let me take it now. And she took it. She goes, there's always this high? Because it was like really high, I guess.
Right.
And I said, no, not usually. She goes, are you nervous about something? I go, well, I'm having a tooth pulled. Yeah, I'm nervous about something. It's like, you know, I don't want to be doing this. And, you know, when I had my wisdom teeth out, they took them all out at once. And this time they were just taking out the one. And I guess it's not nearly as big of a deal. And so they don't put you out. They just give you Novocaine. So they, you know, they put on the thing first with the swab to like numb it locally.
Right.
And then they give me the Novocaine, which I have to say, I could barely even tell I was getting shots, which was, you know, really good on the part of the guy who was doing it. And so then he leaves the room and the nurse comes back in and she's talking to me for a few minutes. She's like trying to get me, I think, to just relax a little bit. And, you know, just waiting for the Novocaine to set in. So the oral surgeon comes back in and he was a very nice guy. And he says, okay, I'm just going to check to make sure this is taken all right. And so he starts poking at my tooth. He goes, do you feel anything? I go, no, just a little pressure. He goes, okay. He goes, and I close, you know, I have my eyes closed, obviously, because it's just that's a weird thing when somebody's like right in your face, poking around your mouth. For just some reason, instinctively, I think you close your eyes, unless you're really like into the person's chin,
right?
In which case you leave them open. But I wasn't in this case. And so he's poking around in there. He's like, does this hurt? I'm like, no, just a lot of pressure. He goes, okay, what about this? I go, yeah, that's a lot of pressure. And he's like, yeah, you're going to feel a lot of pressure. And he grabs my chin and he goes, okay, what about this? Do you feel anything? I go, that's a lot of pressure. He goes, yeah, okay, the tooth is out. I'm like, literally like 2 seconds. How is it possible to take out someone's tooth out of their head in 2 seconds?
I don't know.
Shouldn't it be more involved than that? I mean, do we have to worry about them just like falling out randomly?
I don't know.
What's holding them in that? You could just like pop the thing out.
Right.
Oh my gosh, that was so weird. And I was just saying before we started recording again that I can't believe that 2 days, you know, they gave me Vicodin afterwards. And I took it, you know, when I got home and another one before I went to bed and stuff. And I was actually in a fair amount of pain because, you know, they make you bite down on these, what do you call it? Cotton things. They're not cotton. They're
gauze.
Like some cloth thing. Yeah, a gauze thing. But it's like a special dental gauze. They make you bite down on that to try to clot it so that it stops bleeding.
Right.
So I was doing that for, I think I was doing it from like 3:30 until about 11:30. So that's a long time to be doing that. And my whole jaw and mouth were just completely sore And I couldn't talk. I couldn't eat. I could barely drink anything except water. So I was in a little bit of pain. Woke up yesterday morning. I haven't had any pain at all. So not only did the tooth come out in 2 seconds, but I have had no pain from it whatsoever. And it's like practically completely healed already in there. That is the
I can't believe that you're like so amazed at like stuff that they've been doing for years. I mean, that happens every day to everyone.
Really? You had a tooth out yesterday?
No.
Oh, so there you go. Lies. Saying, it's all lies with
I'm
Tony.
I'm saying it happens to everyone at some point.
And I understand just, that. I'm just saying I'm amazed that it can be done that easily and that quickly.
You know, we've put a man on the moon.
I realize that, and that's my joke that I've used that I stole from David Letterman. But you don't find that fascinating? That
no.
A tooth can come out in 2 seconds?
Maybe that a little.
And that it would heal in 2 days?
No, I don't find that fascinating.
I'm amazed by that. I'm also amazed by the fact that I've been able to go 2 days without eating any kind of like chips and salsa.
That's the part that I'm amazed at.
Exactly. Because I
have
I have zero willpower when it comes to food. So this has been really tough. Because, yeah. I hadn't eaten anything in 24 hours. And, you know, then like yesterday it was like applesauce and ice cream and... Okay, don't give me a hard time for this, but I actually had some Chef Boyardee ravioli last night.
I wouldn't give you a hard time for that. I think that's good for you, but I like it.
Yeah, I needed something that was like kind of soft, but I needed to have some protein. And, you know, I got some cold cuts and stuff like that. I will say, by the way, that Sara Lee makes a damn good garlic and herb chicken breast.
Really?
You get at the grocery store. Yeah, I was really surprised. Very tasty.
Yeah.
But I don't even know what I'm going to eat for lunch today because I can't eat really anything crunchy. I can't eat anything with seeds. Can't eat anything with like little particles.
This truly is the mishmash right here.
Or
the moosh moosh.
That's it? That's all we're getting out of here?
Well, we don't have an outline or anything. So
what does that have to do with it? That's where you need to really bring it up a notch.
Yeah, because
to make
then
up for
people
the
get all excited and then, you know, we and spend 10 minutes talking about how you got a tooth removed.
All right, I'm done with that. I'm sorry. So we should talk about, actually, we could have talked about this in Marvel. We should talk about the fact that Disney bought Marvel.
Yes.
I mean, in movies. Sorry. $4 billion?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't realize Disney had that kind of cash lying around. I thought Disney was hurting.
I don't know.
Well, what do you want to say about it?
I don't really know what to say about it. I mean, I would assume that if they're smart, they're just going to kind of leave it alone and let it be its own thing.
Well, let me ask you this. What was your reaction when you found out that Disney was buying Pixar?
I didn't have much reaction.
Okay.
I mean, because Disney was involved with Pixar in the first place.
Do you have an opinion of Disney one way or the other?
Why? Do you think I should have a negative opinion of Disney?
No, I feel like you do, and I'm wondering where that comes from.
No, I don't at all.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Okay. So I guess what is your concern with the Marvel purchase?
No concerns.
Okay.
I mean, as long as we don't see a lot of like cross stuff now where like,
well, it's like instead
Mickey
of,
and Spidey are in a game together. Or, you know.
Well, didn't they already do that though? That kind of thing with
Kingdom Hearts. Yeah.
But
I think you take away from some of the integrity of either one putting them together.
Yeah. I guess it would depend on how it was done. I never played Kingdom Hearts, but I heard it was a fantastic game. Did you ever play them?
No.
You know, I remember. I want to say it was on the Nintendo 64 that there was some Mickey Mouse Adventure game that was really, really cool. And I wonder why they don't. I mean, I know Mickey Mouse doesn't really have the kind of presence outside of the parks, really, that it used to.
Right.
But, I mean, there's so many characters there, and if a game is solid enough, you know, it's like you've already got something built in,
right,
in a sense, at least in terms of recognition. You know, I think the biggest problem that they would have in that sense is that it's generally very small kids that Mickey Mouse is a part of in terms of the demographic. So in that sense, I could see why they wouldn't want to do something. But, you know, there's a lot that you could do with that I think if you go back to all the old Mickey Mouse cartoons through the decades, there's a lot that you could work with there that I think could be a really cool adventure game, especially like in 3D.
Right.
You know, but... or even
I think Mickey Mouse just has... I mean, even think about when people use the term Mickey Mouse, like that's so Mickey Mouse... Mickey Mouse has such an innocent, childish connotation to it that you're going to lose a lot of your audience by using... I mean, it would really have to be aimed at children.
Right, right. And then how big of a game can you make it? Because, you know, it has to be simple enough for them.
Not only that, but, I mean, to make it, like, you know, look at how much money and how much time they spend on games nowadays.
Yeah.
Are they really going to devote that all that to Mickey
I have
Mouse?
To say, though, I'm really surprised there hasn't been something like, even if it's like a plug-in for The Sims or something, that you could like go to Disney World,
yeah.
like in some kind of, you know, computer realm.
Yeah. As far as, you know, I was just thinking now, because you brought up the Pixar example. You know what? Pixar only allowed that to happen if Disney had no say in what Pixar does.
Is that true?
Yes.
Okay.
And so I would assume that the deal would probably be the same with Marvel as well.
Mm. I don't know.
You know, Pixar, the people at Pixar are very adamant about, like, you know,
yeah.
their creative integrity and not having studio heads come in and tell them what to do.
Yeah.
So there's nothing from the executives at Pixar. I mean, other than, you know, finances and stuff like that.
You mean Disney?
Yeah, well, just, yeah, Disney executives.
Right, right. You said Pixar, though. But you meant Disney, right?
When did I say Pixar?
A minute ago. You said there's nothing from the executives at Pixar.
Oh, I meant from Disney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I corrected you.
Yeah.
I'm
going to need a replay on that.
And a translator for his own words. what was I going to say? I still have a problem, though, with...
Disney owning everything?
No. That I don't care about, because I like Disney. But I have a problem with half of WALL-E. I mean, I do like that movie, but there's a whole half of that movie that really bugs me.
The second half?
Well, the whole, like, everything that takes place not on Earth, basically.
Right.
You know, there was so much going on Earth anyway, and so much emotion and sweetness packed into all the stuff on Earth that I almost felt like it was, like, two different stories, basically. And
yeah.
I don't think they were married well. And that's really unusual for Pixar.
Right.
To kind of be that... disjointed in a way.
Right, but I don't think that was an accident.
Really?
Yeah, I think that was on purpose. Just to show... oh, certainly. I mean, because you certainly got a how do I put it? You got a sense of what Earth had become and then what people had become.
Yeah.
And so I think they wanted it to be, you know, to show how... they were no longer, you know, they were so separate.
Right. I understand that part, but I'm just saying what the message of the two different parts of the movie was. Because the message of the part that focused on WALL-E, I mean, that was a love story.
Right.
The other message was, you know, like a social commentary almost. And so...
yeah, but still hearkening back to if you just, you know, people had become these huge globs because they had... you know, forgotten about the main message of love, maybe you could look at. I mean, I know it sounds really corny, but...
I don't know if that's the
really not.
It, because really it was that they had become so reliant and intermingled with technology that they had lost a lot of their humanness. But I don't think the love story part of WALL-E made up for that. It's just
right.
that WALL-E happened to come along with Eve and they took everyone back home.
Right.
I don't think there was enough of a synergy between the two halves of the story.
Right.
And in that sense, I think it's very unusual for Pixar to do that kind of thing.
Right.
Especially when they're so good at telling these, you know, great stories. I still haven't seen Up. I can't wait for that. I think that comes out pretty soon, right?
Let's see. You can talk about something while I'm...
Yeah, I'll try. All right, let's see if I can find anything gadget related while you are looking that up, because I really have pretty much nothing, and that's not good. I don't know. I don't even know what to talk about. I'm sorry.
And I'm not finding a release date for Up.
Really?
Oh, here we go. Found it. Never mind. November 10th.
There's a couple new sets of headphones from Sennheiser that I believe are wireless. One is...
You know, I had a pair of wireless Sennheiser headphones.
And?
Well, they were... I live in a 78-unit building.
Yeah.
And so I would get, unless I use them in the middle of the night, I would get like interference, I guess, from people's cordless phones.
Were they 2.4 gigahertz or something?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That's a That's a tricky one to be on because
so many people. So I sold them on eBay, which I got almost what I paid for them. So, I mean, that was the plus. And then I bought a pair of Sennheiser corded headphones, you know, the cord. And I love them.
Yeah. I mean, they, you know, they make great headphones. They've been making headphones for, you know, like the recording industry and stuff like that for, you know, professional use for forever. But this one is really cool because the base station for it looks like it's the model number is PX202. And the base station almost looks like a PlayStation or something. It's like a pretty significant looking thing. And I'm sure it's not that quite that big, but it actually looks like a book between a couple of bookends. It's kind of interesting. I'm not sure if there's a price listed here. I don't know. But it's pretty cool.
You said PX202?
PX-200 and then 2, like the Roman numeral 2.
Oh.
In other words, II, as I like to say. Did you know that Nokia is coming out with like some netbooks?
You had mentioned that here before.
Yeah. So they're going to have a 16 cell battery, which should last 12 hours. It's going to ship with Windows 7. It'll have a 1.6 gigahertz Atom Z530 processor, 120 gig hard drive, 1 gig of RAM, Wi-Fi N, and HDMI out.
Wow.
But the price?
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous. $810.
For a netbook.
For a netbook. Now, it's designed to be sold through, you know...
to government agencies?
No. to be sold through wireless carriers because it's got 3G built in.
Right.
With assisted GPS and stuff. So it's designed to be sold through there, so there will be subsidies. But still, $810?
Right.
The only thing that this has that mine doesn't have, and mine was like $299, is basically the 3G. Is that worth $500? I don't think so.
No.
No. And... let's say it again, 3G sucks. 3G is not good for browsing the web.
No.
It's very, very slow.
It's janky.
It is very janky.
Well, should we just jump into our best and worst then?
That's fine. I'm going to keep looking up stuff here.
Okay.
Because there's got to be something else interesting to talk about. Although I'm really not seeing anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure if I had taken the time to put together some notes today,
that's all right.
I would have found some stuff, but... yeah, I don't know.
I think we're putting people to sleep.
It's a slow time. It's a slow time for gadgets, apparently. I don't know what's going on.
Okay.
But anyway, all right, so.
Go ahead, introduce.
All right, so now, as always, it's time for our best and worst entertainment moments of the week. Tony, please, as always, give us your worst.
Okay, my worst is...
This part of the show right now.
It's the last 10 minutes. No, actually, you know, I said a few weeks ago how much I loved this podcast, Doug Benson, I Love Movies.
Yeah.
And this week, I just finished listening to all of them.
So there are no
only,
mores?
Well, they only come out. No, well, no, he still makes them, but he only makes them like every 2 weeks.
Okay.
And I can't wait every 2 weeks.
Did you wear a tweed jacket here today?
I did. I have some more fancy to be after here.
Oh, really?
Well, I have work stuff.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's very
well, funny. Is really what I'm saying that uninteresting that you're looking around the room?
I just noticed it. So how often does he do them?
Every 2 weeks.
Oh, that's not very often. We do our show every week.
And it's only 45 minutes long.
Because the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast is every week.
Yeah.
And it's usually closer to 2 hours.
Yes.
So if you're only doing 45 minutes every two weeks, that's like a fourth of the entertainment that we provide here.
It's pretty entertaining, though. I can't say. He's probably 90% entertaining.
Yeah.
I give us a good...
What?
I'm kidding.
Rude.
I'm being self-deprecating at both our expenses.
Okay. Yeah. Can I do my own, please?
Sure.
I don't want to be spoken for in that respect. I did. Let me just throw this in here. I did just find an iPhone app called Busted Hot.
Oh, I saw that today.
You did?
Yeah.
The description says it all. Weekly 5 mugshots of hot women being arrested. All suspects are innocent until proven guilty.
So apparently Apple isn't that strict when they're reviewing.
But what's
iPhone
weird
apps.
Is that I just read a post today by the guy, one of the head guys at Illumisoft, you know, who makes eWallet.
Uh-huh.
They're trying to do an update for eWallet that keeps getting rejected because Apple didn't like one of their icons. The icon has been in there for over a year.
Wow.
And the process of submitting it and then hearing back that you didn't make it because of this stupid icon? A month.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Apple is a bunch of...
You've already sworn once.
Yeah, I don't need to do it again. So I think my worst entertainment moment, and this shows the sad nature of my current addiction to World of Warcraft, is that yesterday working from home during lunchtime, my son was asleep. My wife was taking a little nap, resting while the son was sleeping. And I thought, well, you know what? It's lunchtime. I'm going to play a little World of Warcraft. The servers were all down for maintenance. And I was so mad.
How long were they down for?
They were down from, I want to say, 2 a.m. to about 5 p.m. So basically all day.
Wow. Does that happen often?
I would say it probably happens. I mean, granted, I've only been playing for less than a month. I would say it probably happens once every couple of weeks.
That's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, they weren't down because of, you know, they were just broken. They were doing maintenance. Right. I think they do maintenance.
Probably adding stuff.
Yeah, I think they do maintenance like every Monday morning or something like that. And sometimes it takes a little longer. This time it took a lot longer.
Right.
But I was like really mad that I couldn't play.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was my worst entertainment moment of the week. You know what, though? You know what? I take it back. My worst entertainment moment of the week was that girl on Top Chef complaining about the fact that she had to cater a bachelor party.
Right. I can agree with that.
You know what? That is definitely my worst because I was so annoyed with that during the entire show and the fact that they kept going back to her.
And she kept bringing it up.
Right.
Yeah.
And that they kept editing that in. I mean, they edited the show the way they edited it.
Right.
So, actually, that's my worst entertainment moment of the week because that was really super annoying. All right. So what about your best?
I can't talk too much about my best because it's the latest episode of True Blood.
And I thought you didn't finish watching it.
Yeah, but I had seen enough to know that it was probably one of my favorite episodes.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
There's a lot of humor. There's a lot of great one-liners in this one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, see, why are they okay in True Blood, but they're not okay in Warehouse 13?
They're not.
Mr. Adamant.
Yeah. Well, because they're funny, and they were funny in True Blood. First of all,
they were funny, and
no, they're
yeah,
not.
They were. You know, you haven't given that show a chance.
Yeah.
That show is.
And I'm
not
going to send your emails.
So rude. So rude. What was I going to say? My best entertainment moment of the week. This is going to be a very tricky one.
Okay, I know that we don't have an outline, but you didn't even have this prepared.
I never have this prepared. I usually think
really
this up on the fly.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because, I mean, it depends. I mean, like, just seeing District 9, obviously, that was an easy one.
Right.
But this week, I really haven't done much.
Right.
So it's hard for me to think of stuff. I don't know.
I apologize for him.
I don't know. I really can't.
No, you have to have one.
I have to have one?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I'll tell you one.
Okay.
Okay. In MMOs...
See, you put a little pressure on him.
In MMOs, one of the toughest things, and this is true for a lot of like single-player RPGs too.
Okay, I don't want it to get, though, in like 4 weeks from now where every week, every one of your best and worst have to do with World of Warcraft.
No, it's not going to be that.
Okay.
My worst wasn't today. I changed my worst to Top Chef.
Okay.
Okay. So in MMOs, you know, one of the tough things when you're first starting out is that you never have enough money to do everything that you need to do, like whether it's training or buying stuff, whatever. So that's, you know, that's the case in World of Warcraft too. So the other day I was on some quest and I killed some bad guy. I think it was like a werewolf or something like that. And he dropped this thing that was, I think it was blue. You know, I'm colorblind. So it was either blue or purple. I don't know.
Of course.
But whatever. So I take it and there's an auction house. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but a lot of these games have auction houses so that rather than having to like go around trying to individually find people to sell stuff to, you just put on the auction house and then people can search through it and find stuff to buy.
Right.
So the way they did it is that you can put in not only a starting bid, but you can put like basically a buyout price on it too.
So it's like eBay.
Right. And so I saw there were like two or three other ones of these things listed that were listed for like crazy tons of money. So I'm like, all right, well, sorry about that. I just hit my microphone filter. So I'm like, all right, well, I'll put mine on there for this crazy amount of money, but just slightly less than the other crazy amount of money. And it sold like in 5 minutes. And so now I had tons and tons of cash.
You struck it rich.
I struck it rich. That was my best entertainment moment of the week. Because now I don't have to worry about money for like at least, you know, 20 levels, I would say.
Right.
And I found another thing that was listed for even twice that, but that one didn't sell. I put it on there for a crazy amount of money. But
I think we were better off when you didn't have Best Entertainment Moment of the Week.
Hey, you're the one who put the pressure on me. By the way, I just want to say that in the screenshots for this busted hot iPhone application.
Uh-huh. Those girls, not so hot.
Not so hot.
No.
I mean, I suppose the one on the right, you could see she could be a fixer-upper.
Now, I have a question about that. Now, if you have your mugshot taken and people get a hold of it, can they just, even if you're not a celebrity, can they do that? I mean, if you're one of those girls.
Yeah, because it's...
Because it's public record?
I believe so, yeah.
Oh.
Pretty sure. Because the one on the left looks like she'd be kind of a biatch.
Uh-huh.
And the one on the right...
Well, she just got arrested, so she's not happy.
Well, it depends on what she got arrested for. Don't you think?
Could
have been something good she was having fun doing.
Yeah, but I mean, you're not happy for being arrested.
I've seen mugshots where people were smiling. Like, hey, check it out, I got arrested, dude. That's probably more of a guy thing, though.
Yeah, I would think.
But yeah, the one on the right, she looks like she could be a fixer-upper. She got that kind of sleepy look, though.
Yeah. How much is that app, and how quickly are you downloading it?
I will not be downloading that. I don't have that many. I'm very selective with my apps.
Yeah.
I have very few apps. You probably have like 10 pages of them.
I have 4 pages of them.
Oh.
No, I'm sorry. I mean, that's including the main page, so I have 3 pages of them.
Oh, well, that's not that many.
No.
My mom, every time she sees an iPhone commercial, she's like, oh, I want apps. I'm like, but you don't even know what they do. She's like, I know, but they look so good. Like, there's an app for that. I want that. I'm like, well, you can go get it. She's like, but it's so expensive.
It's good advertising.
Yeah, it is. It's good advertising. Yeah. If and when my own iPhone app comes out, I would love it if it got included in one of those commercials. And then on the following podcast, I would find something to complain about with that
there
with regard to Apple. So there you go.
Certainly you would.
All right, so that's pretty much it. Sorry we had no format this week, basically.
Yeah, hopefully it was.
What was that?
That's. Ooh, is that me?
I think it's not me.
I got a call. We got to go.
You may not know this, people, but we're actually Ghostbusters in real life. So we have to get out of here.
Yeah.
Bust some ghosts. So that's it. Thanks again for tuning in. And we will hopefully see you next week if there are any of you left after this debacle. But thanks and have a good week.
Bye.